Call the meeting to order of the River to Sea TPO for Wednesday, January 27th, 2016. We have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Gilliland.
Here.
Councilmember Handy Peters. Vice Mayor Matusik.
Here.
Mayor Masarzic.
Here.
Councilman Conroy. Commissioner Curry.
Here.
Commissioner McGurk is excused. Councilmember Saylor.
Here.
Commissioner Sowers.
Here.
Councilmember DiLorenzo.
Here.
Councilmember Ford.
Here.
Councilwoman Long.
Here.
Commissioner Revels. Councilmember Patterson.
Here.
Councilmember Denny's is excused. Councilmember Cusack.
Here.
Councilmember Lowry. Councilmember Wagner. Mayor Emmett.
Here.
Vice Mayor Rogers. Councilmember Wheeler. Commissioner Shoup.
Here.
Commissioner Burton. Mayor Gibson.
Here.
Mayor Saul.
Here.
Councilmember Perone. Linda Costello is excused. Heather Blake. Judy Craig.
Here.
Dustin Savage is excused. And Mary Schozel. And we have a quorum.
Okay. And have the Pledge of Allegiance, please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This morning, I was afraid with this rain when I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. I was wondering if anybody was even going to show up today, but looks like we were able to manage a quorum. I know we have some people that, I guess maybe because of the rain, and I know there's some people that are up in Tallahassee fretting over what the boys and girls are doing up there. Joyce and I know that feeling. Public comment? Do we have any public comment this morning? Okay, we'll move on. On Roman numeral 4, consent agenda, I want to pull item L off. Could I have a motion to pull the item L off?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any objection? Without objection, so the motion pull off. We'll discuss that.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
We have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
We have a second to approve the consent agenda. Is there any objection? Any objection? Without objection, so the motion passes. Let's go to item L on the consent agenda. Lois, you want to just give a quick explanation of what?
Yes, there just was an error in the amount of the expenditure for the Tell the TPO survey update, and the actual cost is $39,780, which is just below what we budgeted for that this year, which was $40,000. And again, we just had a miscommunication among staff and put the wrong number in there. And I just wanted to make sure everybody was clear that it is $39,780,000.
Motion to approve with the amended amount.
Second.
Any questions before I take a vote? I have a motion to approve item L, the approval of the expenditure of $39,780 for the 2016 Tell the TPO survey campaign. Is any objection to the motion? Any objection? Without objection, show the motion passes. We've got quite a few action items here. Hopefully, if you had any questions, you would have got in touch with staff members. The first six action items include the policies that guide the development of annual project priority lists and the project applications used to collect information and rank transportation projects. Item A, review and approval of Resolution 2016-01. Defining the local match requirements placed on member local governments for projects for funding by the TPO. Mr. Keith, you're going to be up there for a while this morning.
I'm going to be brief as I can be.
Thank you, sir.
The first resolution here establishes a local match of 10% on state and federal transportation funds for projects on the traffic operations, safety, and local initiatives list, and also on the bicycle, pedestrian, regional trails, and local initiatives with a bike-ped focus list. It specifically exempts projects on the state highway system from the match requirement. It requires a 10% match for all transportation planning studies. And I think that pretty well summarizes it. Any questions?
Commissioner Matusik, you have a question?
Mr. Chair, I followed the rules. I did get with the executive director prior to the meeting. My question was, has this all been approved?
My question is, have these been approved by the CAC and the TCC? My understanding from Lois is they have, but maybe to prevent those calls that on our blue sheet that it could just say has already been approved, so that way we won't have those questions.
Okay.
We'll do that in upcoming agendas and the background summary. For the three resolutions and the three applications, they have all been reviewed by the respective advisory committees, and they are moving forward as presented in this agenda as recommendations from those committees.
Move approval, sir.
I have a motion to approve the resolution 2016-01, defining the local match requirements. Any other questions, debate, any objection to the motion? Without objection, show the motion passes. Roman numeral 5B, review and approval of the resolution 2016-02, reaffirming the policy for establishing and maintaining transportation priority projects. Mr. Keith, you're recognized.
Yes, sir. This resolution merges the priority project list, as we've discussed over the last few months. Specifically, it combines the regionally significant non-SIS roadway projects and the major bridge projects. It combines traffic operations safety projects with the local initiatives that we've identified in the long-range plan, those with a traffic focus. And it also combines the bicycle and pedestrian priority project with the transportation alternatives projects, the regional trails projects, and the local initiatives for the bicycle pedestrian focus. Are there any questions?
Any questions, members?
Move approval.
Second.
I have a motion to approve the resolution 2016-02, reaffirming the policy of establishing and maintaining transportation priority projects. Any debate? Any objection to the motion? Without objection, show the motion passes. Roman numeral 5C, review and approval of resolution 2016-03, establishing the policy for the annual allocation of surface transportation program, urban attributable funding, and other state and federal funds identified in the 2040 long-range transportation plan for local initiatives. You recognize, Mr. Keith.
This policy reaffirms our longstanding policy to allocate the federal SU funds, 40% to traffic operations and safety projects, 30% to bicycle and pedestrian projects, and 30% to transit. In addition to that, it allocates the local initiative funds identified in the long-range plan. That's approximately $38 million over the 25-year span of the plan. It allocates that 50% to traffic operations safety projects and 50% to bicycle and pedestrian projects.
Any questions, members? Any questions?
I just have one. That there's no caps that on the funding, right? They remove that?
That's correct.
Move approval.
Second, DiLorenzo.
I have a motion to approve the resolution 2016-03, establishing the policy for the annual allocation of surface transportation program, urban attributable funding, and other state and federal funds identified in the 2040 long-range transportation plan. Any debate? Any debate on the motion? Without any objection? Without objection, show the motion passes. Roman numeral 5D, review and approve a priority project application for traffic operations, safety, and local initiatives projects.
This is a minor modification to the existing application for traffic operations projects. It's intended only to recognize that we're incorporating the local initiatives with a traffic operations focus.
Any questions? Any questions?
Motion to approve.
Motion renewed.
Second.
Huh? Motion to approve priority projects application.
Joyce has been up since 4.
Thanks, Rob.
And I didn't have any coffee yet until I got here, so it hasn't hit.
I couldn't let you by.
I am on Roman numeral 5D, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a motion to approve, and has been seconded, the priority project application for traffic operations, safety, and local initiative project. Has any objections to the motion? Without objection, show the motion passes. Okay, now getting on Roman numeral 5E. Review and approval of priority project application. You really like doing that to me. Application for bicycle pedestrian transportation alternatives, regional trails, and local initiative projects. Mr. Keith?
This modification actually merges the priority project application for bike ped projects and that for transportation alternative projects. Of course, it recognizes the inclusion of regional trails and local initiatives in this category. Are there any questions?
Any questions, members? Any questions? Lois,
I do just want to point out that because of that merger, there was a slight change to the criteria, and the committee included some criteria that is more pertinent to transportation alternative type projects, and so that did change the criteria a little bit, and I just want to call that out for folks.
Any questions?
Move approval.
Second, Matusik.
I have a motion to approve the priority project application for bicycle pedestrian transportation alternatives, regional trails, and local initiative projects. Any questions? Debate? Any debate? Any objection to the motion? Any objection? Without objection, show the motion passes. Roman numeral 5F, review and approval of priority project application for transportation planning studies.
The final action requested regarding the priority process, this one simply provides a minor modification to the application for priority project for transportation planning studies. It combines a couple of criteria, but doesn't really change them.
Any questions?
Move approval, Matusik.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Approval of priority project application for transportation planning studies. Is there any questions, any debate? Without objection, any objection? Without objection, show the motion passes.
Thank you very much.
You're off the hook, Mr. Keith. Item Roman numeral 5G, review and approval resolution 2016-04, amending the fiscal year 2015-16 Unified Planning Work Program. Lois?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This particular amendment is something that we do quite often in the mid-year of the fiscal year to make sure that we are allocating the funds to tasks that we need to go ahead and complete the work that we need to do. So in this particular case, there is one change to the year one funding, and then most of the changes are in the second year, and it basically reallocates funding from tasks that have some money that we are not likely to spend down between now and the end of the fiscal year, and it reallocates it to staff or to tasks where we are over budget, and you see about $19,000 being moved around again to make sure that we are able to complete the work that we need to do between now and the end of the fiscal year.
Any questions?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
Resolution. I have a second. Approval of resolution 2016-04, amending the fiscal year 2015-16 Unified Planning Work Program. Any debate on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Without objection, show the motion passes. Wouldn't you know, I get a new pen for a Christmas present, and the damn thing doesn't even work now. That was an off-the-record comment. Roman numeral 5H, review and approval amendment to the fiscal year 2015-16 TPO budget.
I'll go ahead and address that.
Okay.
This is a similar sort of activity where we have looked at the budget, and we have two items. Line items that look like they're going to be over budget. One was the advertising line item, and the other is computer software. The advertising budget, in part, is due to a lot of additional ads that we ran, legal ads, making sure that we were notifying the public of the long-range transportation plan actions that were occurring. Those ads are a little more expensive than they have been in the past, and we ran more than we expected. The other item is computer software, and as I think you all know, we have two additional staff members that have come to the TPO, and so we're purchasing some additional software, graphic information software and the like, to make sure that they can do work for us.
Any questions?
Move approval.
Motion approved. Amendment to the fiscal year 2015-16 TPO budget. Is there any debate on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Without objection, show the motion passes. Roman numeral 5A, review and approval of resolution 2016-05, amending the fiscal year 2015-16, 2019-20 Transportation Improvement Program, TIP. And
I'll go ahead and just give the brief update. This particular TIP amendment is something that DOT has been working with the city of Deltona on, and it adds construction funding in the current year for the Lakeshore Shared Use Path. This has been on our priority list for a while. And Volusia County Council had previously approved ECHO funding grant, or ECHO grant funding, which is providing a match for the project as well. And again, this TIP amendment moves just under $500,000, $494,000, into the TIP so that the city of Deltona can move forward in constructing the Lakeshore Path.
And Lois throws out $500,000 just like it's nothing.
Obviously.
You have a question?
Move approval, sir.
We have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second, Matusik.
Is there somebody not from Deltona here that... is there any debate on the motion? Any debate? Is there any objection to the motion? Without objection, show the motion passes. Okay, we're going to open a public hearing on the 2040 long-range transportation plan. Do we have anybody for the public participation? Anybody? Okay, we'll close the public hearing. We will have to take a roll call vote after this presentation if we get a motion for approval.
So moved.
And who? We're not passing it yet. We've got to have a presentation.
Yeah.
Are you trying to? No, I wasn't looking for a motion. I'm sorry. See, the coffee just hasn't kicked in yet here.
Good morning. Martha Morth, Gabby and Associates here for what would be the last time on the presentation for this 2040 long-range plan. It's been a very fast 2 years that have gone by. And what you approved back in September was the summary, the long-range plan summary. And in those intervening months, Jean Parlow and myself have put together the documentation that goes with it, this 400-page book that combines all the different reports that we had developed and I presented to you over the past few years. So we developed the documentation, we've sent it out to FHWA and also to DOT to get their comments, and we've worked with them on there. We made an administrative change at the suggestion of FHWA where we did include the E plus C list in an appendix that is costed out in 5-year increments. And any other changes we made with DOT were just, again, administrative changes. Lois, did you want to comment on?
I do want to go ahead and make sure the board is clear on one activity that is required as part of the long-range plan development, and that is that all of the projects that we list as a part of our cost-feasible plan have to be screened through a process called the Efficient Transportation Decision-Making Process. And this is something that's been developed by the Department of Transportation. And it's intended to ensure that there is a very early screening of potential environmental impacts of projects. And so it provides notice to various stakeholders so that they can begin understanding that a project is being considered. And so there were 4 projects in this long-range plan that had not already been through this ETDM screen. But three of those are the local projects that we were able to fund. And then the fourth project is the State Road 442 extension PD&E. And I want to remind you all that that project is included in the long-range plan in and out year for a PD&E study only. That's project development and environmental. So not surprisingly, that particular project generated a number of comments. If you think about the extension of 442, we don't have a specific alignment. It'll be geared or narrowed down based on a lot of work that'll have to be done over time because it does run through an environmentally sensitive area. There's a lot of wetlands out there. It spans an area that is undeveloped at present. So we recognize, again, that there will have to be a lot of work done. We did, when we got the ETDM screen back, reach out to the three project sponsors that are most specifically involved, and that would be Volusia County, the City of Edgewater, and the City of Deltona, to let them know what sort of comments are pertinent to their particular cities. And again, we'll continue working over time on issues that may come up about that. If anybody is interested in seeing the detail of those comments or reports, again, I'm happy to provide them. But I did share those with the agencies that were interested in pursuing this project in greater detail.
Any questions? Lois, Leah, I'm sorry.
The other three, Volusia County, Deltona, and Edgewater, was that all in reference to the 442?
Yes.
Or were these three other separate projects?
No, those were all in reference to comments made on the 442 extension.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Are those available online, or will you make them available online just for general?
Absolutely, I can share those.
Any other questions, members? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve. Gilliland.
Second.
I have a motion to approve the resolution 2016-06 adopting the 2040 Long Range Transportation Plan, the LRTP report, and roll call, please. We'll have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Gilliland?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Matusik?
Yes.
Mayor Masarsik?
Yes.
Commissioner Curry?
Yes.
Councilmember Saylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Stowers?
Yes.
Councilmember DiLorenzo?
Yes.
Councilmember Ford?
Yes.
Councilwoman Long?
Yes.
Commissioner Revels?
Yes.
Councilmember Patterson?
Yes.
Councilmember Cusack?
Yes.
Mayor Emmett? Oh, actually, Commissioner Shute?
Yes.
It's the voting member for the Small City Alliance, and it's unanimous.
It looks like it was unanimous this morning. Okay, thank you very much. We're going to move on to presentations, status reports, and discussion items. Roman numeral 6A, presentation discussion of the Federal Highway Administration certification. Are you doing that, Lois?
I'm going to give the introduction. Thank you. Federal law requires that we, because of the size of our MPO, has to undergo a certification review once every 4 years. And so Ms. Shakira Crandall from Federal Highway Administration led a project team in a certification review of the TPO, and she's going to give you a presentation about the process and the results.
Is this because we're too big or too small?
Mm-hmm. We have
You're
crossed
the right
threshold,
size. Yes. You're just the right size. Good morning.
Good morning.
So as Lois mentioned, I was with you all a few months ago in August of 2015, and at that time I had a full team that decided to leave me today. So it's just me. So the purpose of this review is that we do it every 4 years, and it's to certify the transportation planning processes in areas that exceed 200,000 in population. And the purpose is just to ensure that the planning area is meeting applicable federal rule and regulation. There are four steps to the process. We did a desk audit last year and then conducted a site visit August 11th through the 12th. And at that time, we went through all of the TPO's planning documents just to ensure that they met federal requirements. We also reviewed findings from previous certification reviews. And then the final step in this review process is to close out just to ensure that we've communicated a highlight of the findings. The purpose of the review is just to ensure that we have a 3C continuing cooperative and comprehensive process. What does that mean? We just want to make sure that the planning is multimodal in focus, that the public has been engaged in your planning process. We're taking a look at how previous findings have been resolved. We're also making sure that requirements have been followed. So I won't go in great detail because I know that you all have a copy of the report, but I did want to mention that, you know, I do these certification reviews all over the state. This is a smaller staff. But from the previous 4 years to this 4 years, this staff has accomplished a lot, as indicated by the 10 noteworthy practices that are documented in the report. A special note, public participation. The federal review team really enjoyed hearing about the survey related to your long-range transportation plan, the report that you just adopted, the planning retreats that you all do annually where you focus on a particular topic and invite members of the public to discuss those topics. The fact that the staff is available to the public for one-on-one engagement really stood out in comparison to some of the other reviews that we've done for what this staff accomplished. I just want to give you all kudos and kudos to the staff for that outreach. There are recommendations also included related to public participation, Title VI, and congestion management process. The staff has already moved to incorporate some of the recommendations that were made as a part of this review. And there are 4 corrective actions. And so I just want to spend a little bit of time here. Corrective actions just mean that the full intent of the federal regulation has not been met. It doesn't mean that nothing has been done, but there are just certain aspects that needed to be modified so that the full intent of the federal regulation has been addressed. And this staff has already moved on a number of the corrective actions that you see listed, which aren't due until February 29th. Lois has already provided me a progress report to let me know how the staff has already moved forward, not just on corrective actions, but recommendations. And so that's refreshing to see that the staff is moving forward and plans to get a lot of these corrected before the deadline that we have prescribed in the report. So, based on the overall findings, the Federal Highway Administration and Federal Transit Administration jointly certified the planning process of the Palm Coast, Daytona Beach, Port Orange Transportation Management Area, also known as River to Sea TPO, subject to meeting those corrective actions that were highlighted on the previous slide. Once those are satisfied, we don't have to have this much fun again until October 2019. In summary, I just want to say that essentially what this says is that you have a very strong staff that is doing the planning work here. They are a joy to work with. It's a joy to see how they work with both VOTRAN and FDOT. It is clear that they have a good working relationship and are taking what they do related to planning serious in this area. So, great job. That's it. Any questions?
Any questions, members? Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good jobs to the staff. We really appreciate that. And moving on, item B, presentation discussion of the I-4, I-95, US 92 systems interchange. Lois?
We have with us the project manager for that particular activity, Bradley Bucknick. And he is with DOT, and he worked on the pedestrian project as well. We wanted to bring this to you at this meeting because, of course, we've got races coming up, and they've been heavily advertised, and we're going to see a lot of activity. I drive through this interchange project probably 15 to 20 times a week at least, and I've been really, really pleased with the maintenance of traffic and everything that's occurred, but I wanted to make sure you all had an opportunity to ask questions and see how the project was progressing.
I recognize, sir.
Well, thank you, Lois. I appreciate that, especially because MOT is very important for the DOT. Safety is definitely one of our top priorities. So let's just get to the beginning, and it's been over a little over a year. and we're on schedule. There was 1,100 days in the original time, but we have weather and holidays that add to time, so we had to make sure on that. So there was some additional time that we have, but we're still on time. Money is earned is about $67 million. We're still on budget. We have some milestones that were completed. The State Road 44 off-ramp, that's completed, that's done. It was slightly on our south end of our project. It was part of a bonus that we had for them, so they get it done as soon as possible, so we did get that done. We had the 52-day pilot driving operation. I think I came here to talk about that in the beginning. It was a difficult process with the airport. We made sure that we were working with them to not put them in a corner. So it was a great coordination and effort for them as well. Then we had the 2016 event traffic plan, which is one of our biggest bonuses that we had, and that was the bonus stated that we have provide what's proposed on this project coming outbound 92 of the 92 Daytona area, that we maintain that to the end of the project from now until the end of the project. And that was actually met, and it's implemented right now. We have three lanes of the southbound 95 from 92 to 421, and we have three lanes from 92 out to our northern part of our limits, which is a little past 92, north of 92. So we also have two lanes of traffic that are coming from 95 to I-4. When we go south of I-4, we have those two lanes constructed and built. Unfortunately, the I-4 still is not completely built. We're working on trying to get that done as soon as possible. But in the meantime, there is a small bottleneck there, but it won't be that big of a problem. We still have some areas that we provide on 421 as well as LPGA too. So our current traffic shift, we won't see another traffic shift for probably another 8 months. So what you see now, what you're experiencing now is what we'll have for the next 8 months. So that's a good thing. We try to limit the amount of traffic shift because everybody knows that when we have change, some people don't like change. We try to teach them as soon as possible how that traffic shift's going. So we'll have that traffic shift by 8 months, so we won't have that much change on I-95. Bellevue Bridge, we did have a commitment with the Speedway and with Daytona that the Bellevue Bridge would be open on Speed Weeks. Speed Weeks is coming up. We're doing a lot of work. This one's not helping us one bit, but we're doing a lot of work right now to get that open. We have committed to get that open. A soft opening, of course. We'll have it open for that week. Then we'll close it back up. We'll safe it up. We'll open it up. We'll close it after the race week. We'll keep it closed until bike week. Bike week's the 75th anniversary. We understand that. We're going to open it back up for a second opening. That'll be March 4th through the 13th. Close to April 1st, 2016, it'll be completely open. We will not come back to it. It'll be done. So by April 1st, we'll have it completely open for us all. Now, just give a quick overview coming from the south and working north on State Road 44. We're tying into lanes construction, which is to the south of us. We've changed our schedule to make sure that all the transitions on their project happen on our project. That means we'll never have to go back on their project. So that's actually a plus and savings cost for the residents of the state. I-95 and Spruce Creek, pile driving is almost completed. We still have to try to finish some of the pile drives. They're not catching, so they're still sinking. So we still got, now we got to splice them. If anybody understands, we're splicing, and then we'll keep on driving to see if we can get the recommended. I'm not good with the pile driving, but the recommended load on. So the trestle bridge is completed, which is great. That makes our process work a lot faster, and we're anticipated to complete in the fall of 2017 on that bridge. That's not a critical path, but it is one of their other milestone bonuses that they have as well to finish that as soon as possible. On 421, you see a crane right now getting positioned in place. We're going to start pile driving. There's some median embankment as well. There's a shift towards the outs of the bridge that's working on right now, and we're pairing some wire walls. Wire walls meaning that we're placing fill within the median, so you'll have some variables that you see that sort of wire. on the I-95 I-4 interchange. This one's got to be the biggest hot topic ever. I think there's a major accident almost every 6 months here. It's a busy intersection, I-95 and I-4. A lot of people go through it. We are doing pier foundations and columns and pier caps right now, and we're procuring the right-of-way. There's two locations on the southwest and the northeast quadrants is where we're looking at getting right-of-way. We're working very hard to get that completed. I think we're in negotiations with the landowners right now. Of course, that takes a long process. We have a two-year commitment to the contractor to get that completed. We're in 1 year, so we have 1 more year left. The I-95 US 92 interchange. This is where your looks like it's tons of sticks sticking out of the ground. I forgot what the name of that famous circle. What is it called? Stonehenge. It does look like that a little. So, but replacing fill in the medians as well as pile driving completed, and we're doing some drainage improvements trying to get the drainage completed so we can finish up. Any questions on the I-95?
Any questions?
There's one more project I just real quick and then I'll be done. Nope? Okay. All right, so for the US-92, it is completed. Under budget and under time. We got that done almost a month before it was required to be done, and we were under budget, I think almost like $34,000. So that was great. It was a true design build, if everybody understands design build project. This had no plans, no coordination. It was all up front work that we had to do up front. So it was a great coordination with the city, the county, and the DOT. It was 1.32 miles, the 12-foot sidewalks on both sides. You guys need to walk down. It's a gorgeous sight. You've got what we call ball bouts every maybe 300 feet. And it's a glass mesh on the ground. When the sun hits it, it's amazing. The landscaping's great. It's a totally different feeling there. So starting from the west, heading east, you've got the Williamson Boulevard, which is just mast arms instead of strain arms, strain poles now. It also has the audible ped poles for the deaf and the blind. US 92, the improvements, the landscaping, you've got the 12-foot sidewalks, and all, of course, one other additional thing would be the LED lights. It significantly does it. It makes a significant difference, big time, with the high-pressure sodium from LED. And again, we'll have the LED lights as well on 95 from 94 to US 92 corridor. And the pedestrian bridge. If you guys have not driven by there at night, you have to. It's a great look. It's a blue tan to the wing walls. It's a 15-foot wide pedestrian bridge. It's going to look. We'll see how it works out with the speedway coming up. And again, there's some other photographs of the corridor. And here's our information if you want to contact us. I also have Katie Wisson on staff as well. She's my public involvement information officer. So, any questions? I'd be happy to answer them. If not,
questions? Yes.
Yes.
Greg.
Bradley, when I drove I-4 last week, I got off on the wrong lane and it took me back to DeLand, and there was no exit from here to DeLand. Is that why is there not some signage that says that? Because it makes you get frustrated. No exit, no exit, no exit.
So you were going I-95 southbound?
And I got onto I-4 to get off on 92, and it turned me around, and I went on that, figuring I could get off, and there was no exit until DeLand.
Well, the only exit southbound to DeLand would be the I-95 southbound exit to DeLand. There's only one exit there. The other exit is the flyover at 92. I'm not quite sure how to answer that question.
Yeah. I just was surprised that there wasn't at least some signage so that you, as a person driving, would not get frustrated, because it made me late for the bus. And I was frustrated because there was no exit and there was no signage to tell me that. I just wanted to get that.
Well, we do. The existing sign out there right now has not been taken down. So You were going southbound, correct, on 95? Mm-hmm. So you passed the 92 exit. Mm-hmm. So you went to the next exit.
Which is the
I-4 exit.
Yeah, but yeah. That is four different lanes going. It's hard when you haven't driven it. But I just felt like I wish I would have known, and I wouldn't have taken that route because it took another 40 minutes to come back to where it wanted to be.
Yes, once you get on I-4 going going westbound, you are definitely stuck.
You're stuck till you get to the lander. Mm-hmm. And you ought to try coming from like Sanford and miss the State Road 44 exit and have to go all the way to Daytona and get off at 92 and turn around and come back. So you have to be alert on there.
Yeah, I think a little bit of signage would help a great deal, especially for those that aren't familiar with the area.
Commissioner Gillen, do you have a question?
Actually, just a comment. I wanted to compliment Brad and his whole team. This is probably the fourth or fifth meeting, third and last. There was the ISB coalition. There was an staff meeting on Monday. This meeting, they've done a great job with public outreach and keeping everybody involved and apprised of what's going on. And I think it's really helped with some of the inconveniences caused when you have a construction project of this magnitude. And I just wanted to give kudos to them for all the efforts they're putting into making sure that folks know what's happening and the timing of all those changes.
Regarding Bellevue. The bridge there, you said it's going to be open. There's no safety concerns at all for that soft opening?
Well, that's the one thing. We'll make sure that it is safe for vehicular traffic. Pedestrian traffic, it will not have. We will not bring the sidewalks up to it, but vehicular, yes. Okay. We'll make sure it's safe.
Okay. And Brad, would you get with Ms. Craig and maybe y'all could come up with something that may solve her problem, if you don't mind. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Rule 6C, presentation discussion on the fiscal year 2016-17 and 2017-18 Unified Planning Work Program. Lois, are you?
Thank you. As I mentioned earlier, the Unified Planning Work Program is our two-year plan of activity. It identifies the funding that we receive from Federal Highway, from Federal Transit, local funding, any other funding sources, grants, and the like, and it outlines the projects that we're going to undertake here at the TPO over a two-year period. And so we're in the second year of our existing UPWP. Beginning this summer, we will begin using a new UPWP, and we're developing that document right now. The document's going to look a little different this year because there are some changes underway that are being rolled out here in the state. In the past, we would have a UPWP, and then we would issue joint participation agreements and lab agreements and different things for specific work tasks. We're now going to use the UPWP as our guiding contract, so we have to have a lot more detail, more funding detail, financial detail, as well as project detail. So again, we're going to see a slight change in the document itself. In addition, in the past, we used to allocate our overhead costs, lease, utilities, and the like, across our work activities. So we had an allocation rate that we applied to all of our work tasks. A change in the process is requiring basically that we have those allocated to a single task or outlined in a task. So what you'll see is our overhead costs outlined primarily under the general admin task. We are going to put a proportion of that under our transit task as well. But because we have to adopt the document soon, we don't have an opportunity to have an allocation plan approved. So again, we'll see a little bit of a difference there. Because of that, we're not doing cost comparisons with prior years because the funding will be completely different. Typically, when we start this process of developing a new UPWP, the first thing we do is we assign funding to all of the tasks and outline all of the tasks that we have to do, right? The UPWP development, the TIP, some of the basic support of the organization, and then whatever additional funds we have, we identify tasks, planning tasks, special studies that we might want to undertake. And these don't generally fall out of the sky. These are tasks typically that are either ongoing or tasks that we've been discussing or trying to develop. In this particular case, we've gone through the allocation to all of the required basic tasks and activities that we do, and there are no additional funds available for special studies. And some of the reasons for that is back when MAP 21, the prior authorization, transportation authorization bill came out, there was a reduction in funding, planning funds, to MPOs here in the state of Florida. So there was a pretty significant reduction at that point. We also, if you recall, had the dissolution of VCOG that shared office space with us. So we had to take on some of that subleasing cost that hadn't been anticipated. And we are also, as I mentioned earlier, fully staffed for the first time in quite a few years. So there isn't any additional funding. Now, I'll also remind you that this two-year UPWP is based on funding estimates, and they're typically conservative. So generally, especially on the transit side of the house, we usually get an increase at some point. We are now under the FAST Act, which did change the amount of funding available, but we don't have any specifics on that, and we're not planning off of that. But I think it's reasonable to think that we may have at least a small increase at some point during the year. So we may see some changes during the year. The good news, though, is that we are fully staffed, so we can actually do work directly, and we don't have to pay consultants to do some of the work that we just can't manage to do ourselves because of time constraints. So the UPWP subcommittee met just yesterday, and I know when possible we try to provide information in advance, but the committee did just meet yesterday, and you have a handout at your station that includes a table that sort of outlines what we are proposing as a part of the UPWP beginning this summer. And you'll see in year one and year two, you see our basic tasks that are included in the existing UPWP, a strike through for tasks that are no longer going to be pursued, long-range plan because we're done, ITS because we do not currently have money to do it, and this money that we had been setting aside and time that we spent on small local governments, we're just going to move to the general planning task. What you'll see in here, again, are primarily the tasks that we're required to do or that we do complete typically, like an annual report, the UPWP, congestion management plan. There are some tasks that I'll call your attention to, which we intend to pursue. And again, I'll look for your feedback on this. Under the first line item, general administration in year one, a strategic plan. We talked about this in our retreat last year. Time constraints prevented us from moving forward with it, but in year one of this UPWP, we will begin to work on the strategic plan. In the next item, we are also intending to pursue an update to our website. It's been about 4 years since we did a major update, and it's time to do that again. Moving down to item 3.3, you'll see here it just says CMP, that's a congestion management process, and that is a required activity, but this TPO had not been doing that on an annual basis, so we will now be making it clear in our UPWP that is a process and a report that we'll be developing.
Lois, is that the corrective action that came out of the earlier presentation?
Yes,
for the certification? Is that what required to meet that deficiency?
It is. We actually, this board approved the congestion management process, I believe, in August of last year. Now we have to actually implement it, and that means pulling together a working group, and getting together the data, identifying areas of congestion, talking about how to deal with them. And so we've been going through the process of pulling that data. We'll be convening a working group and then moving forward and have a report around April or May of this year.
But completing that activity will meet the deficiency that was in the TMA certification
Correct.
Report? Okay,
Correct.
Great, thank you.
Well ahead of the deadline. The next line item, 3.04 corridor studies. In the second year, we are hoping to develop a transportation corridor livability plan. And this really builds on conversations that we had as a part of the long-range plan where we start to identify transit-oriented corridors. We start to identify projects that would and corridors that would be important for complete streets types retrofits. Moving quite a bit further down, just below the lowest gray bar, when we get into community safety and bicycle and pedestrian, we'll be doing a bicycle master plan, a bicycle and pedestrian master plan in year one. That's taking and building upon inventories that we already have, pulling in a lot of the local master plans that you have, and completing a much more detailed inventory of sidewalks and bike paths and trails. We'll be working on a pedestrian safety action plan that is identifying parts of our planning area that have high rates of bicycle and pedestrian crashes, much like the study that we did in, or that we are doing on A1A. We're going to do the same thing on more of a planning area basis, start to identify areas where we have problems and try to identify and implement countermeasures to really reduce our crash rates.
Lois, can I just ask or really comment on something? Flagler County had its big annual home show this past weekend, and the tax collector always has a real interesting booth where she tries to engage people, and it was bicycle safety a year ago where there were helmets donated. This year they had a roulette wheel of information about traffic safety that I think came from FDOT. And I'm going to tell you, the people just gravitated to that to play the game, to spin the roulette wheel, and they got asked a question about if you're walking, do you walk against the traffic or with the traffic, or if you're biking. And I think that in the pedestrian safety field, if that type of an event was held everywhere, people love it, and it was really educational.
Have sent out information, and I think those inserts were in the tax collector's mailouts up in Flagler County. They've been very good about working with us. And, you know, each year, as a part of Stevens Community Safety Outreach Program, we do identify venues, and this might be a good venue for us to consider adding to that. That
just like activity game, but they learn something while they do it, because I know I flunked.
They'll have to work on that. back on this bicycle suitability map, also to try and give folks an indication of, depending on your level of experience, where you may be able to ride safely and comfortably. Under transit and transportation disadvantaged, in year one, we'll be looking at developing an implementation plan for ADA improvements at bus stops. Also, an accessible pedestrian signal plan. This has been an issue over time, and it's really time to bring that into a more coordinated plan. And in year two, we'll be more specifically working on an implementation plan for transit service in Flagler County. And all of those tasks were developed in coordination with Flagler County Public Transit, as well as VOTRAN. And again, that's on top of all of the general information. So what you see in this table are what we're proposing for year one and year two, and there's a little general description to remind you all of the type of activities that occur under these tasks. There are three candidate projects that the subcommittee talked about to some length. The first is an ITS master plan. And again, we've been talking about technology. We'll be talking about technology at the retreat next Friday. if I can mention that again, at the retreat, the planning retreat next Friday. We are currently getting ready to start some work on laying the basis for ITS improvements in this area. Of course, we have a lot of ITS deployed already right here on 92, just a number of things, and we'll go over that at some point. But bringing that all together in a coordinated plan is really important. We haven't included that, A, because we don't have money, and B, because until we do some of the base work, we really don't have a scope and cost estimate. So at some point, we'll come back and continue that conversation. The second candidate task is climate change and resiliency. We've been working a little bit with EOC Emergency Management here in Volusia County, as well as the Regional Planning Council. We're going to extend those conversations up, because Flagler is in a different Regional Planning Council, to talk about how to tackle this as becoming a greater emphasis area at the state and federal level, making sure that we are dealing with issues of flooding, of severe weather, of potential climate change and sea level rise, and making sure our transportation system is well-equipped to manage these issues. And then the final pertains to school safety studies in Flagler County. You know that over the years we have done school safety studies for all of the elementary schools and middle schools here in Volusia County. Now that we have an expanded planning area, we want to move that activity up and do that same thing for the schools that are in Flagler County within our planning area. We have twice applied for a grant to do that work and not received an award. We will, again, apply for that. But the subcommittee discussed this quite a bit, and they suggested that we develop a scope and a cost estimate, and that we propose using some of the SU funds, which we've done in the past. We're doing right now for the A1A study as an example. And so on that particular issue, I'd like some feedback as we move forward in developing the document from you all as to whether we should go ahead and incorporate that into the document. Obviously, you can discuss that in greater detail next month. But using SU money, which is typically available for the construction and development of projects, according to that set aside. But again, it's not uncommon that we flex some of that money over to develop planning studies that help folks move forward with projects. In the past, those school safety studies have over maybe two dozen projects have been funded in part through the Safe Routes to Schools program that's managed at the state level and in part through our priority process. So if there are any thoughts or feedback on that.
Is there any opportunity for a grant to apply for?
We will continue to apply for a grant. We'll apply for matching funds or anything that we can do in order to reduce that expenditure.
What would be like a drop dead time when you would, if you hadn't gotten matching or grant, that you would use SU funds? I mean, how much time do you see elapsing before that occurs?
I'm not sure what the grant cycle is.
Oh, so pretty quickly.
Very soon.
Okay. All right. I would like to see us have that capability to use SU funds for those planning studies, natural resource library.
Chair. Cool.
Yeah.
In Flagler County, we've had a terrible year. We've lost one child and four others injured. So something we'd badly need, so I'd ask for your consideration when we can talk about it more next month.
That will be on the agenda. Commissioner Gilley?
Lois, under 5.01, one of the items there was the ADA improvements at bus stops. Please make sure that gets coordinated with the jurisdictions around here, Daytona Beach, Volusia County. A lot of us have been sued for ADA issues at our bus stops, and that's, you know, contrary to what Mike Pastore likes to say, the reason we removed our bus benches was because they weren't ADA compliant. If we didn't remove them, we were on the hook for a monster liability lawsuit from this group. So we, you know, as much as possible, you know, try and incorporate the folks, the municipalities and the county, the folks that have bus stops in their jurisdictions about some, because there's a lot of simple fixes you can do with these things. You know, unfortunately, the simplest fix is just make it a piece of dirt with a sign. And that's ADA compliant, believe it or not. But, you know, it obviously isn't very a very pleasant experience for the folks that are actually going to be riding the bus.
Yeah, obviously we want to move forward in a way that is the most supportive of the cities, the transit agencies, and the users. That's exactly what we intend to do.
Thank you.
And if I could just let you all know, I just wanted to confirm with Stephen, the cost would be somewhere between $80,000 and $100,000, our preliminary estimate for that particular set of school safety studies.
Any questions? All right, FDOT report. Jane Ferguson or whoever.
Good morning. Mary Shosa with the Florida Department of Transportation. I'm actually subbing for Gene this morning. He's out with the flu. So I don't really have anything to report as on the construction report. We did have a couple of resurfacing projects on State Road 430 and 441 that we'll be finishing at the end of this month. But other than that, I really don't have anything. I'll be happy to take any comments, questions, or concerns that you have back to the district if you would like to give me any.
We won't pick on you this morning.
Either. That's okay. I'm good at it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you give me an estimate as to when I-4 will be complete? It was supposed to be early 2016.
No, I could not. I don't know. I actually could not give you that today, but I can find out for you the estimated date that they have right now. You know, like Brad was mentioning earlier, we've had a lot of weather, rain, and we've had a lot of.
You said it has a couple of glitches or something that's going on. So, I mean, I think it's interesting. It would be important for us that travel that to have some idea.
Sure, absolutely.
As to where we are in.
What I'll do is I will send something back to the TPO, and maybe they can send it out to everyone. Is that okay with you guys if we do it that way?
Yes, absolutely.
Sounds good.
I'd appreciate it. Thanks
no
so
problem.
Much.
You're welcome. Thank Anybody you. Else?
Yes,
sir.
Hi. I've been sitting on I-4 for the last hour.
I know.
But I'm from Lake Helen, and when speaking to Gene the last time we were talking, they're about to put lighting up at the intersection of I-4 and 116. When I last talked, they were in the development stage, planning stage. How far along is that before it becomes completion? Because we're trying to put lights along Main Street, and we want to try and make sure that our lights and the lighting that you're going to put up at the intersection would be compatible.
Absolutely. I don't have that information with me, but I do have it with the information that I have that I brought with me. So I can give that to you after, if you'd like to meet with me afterwards.
I certainly will. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Marshall.
Mary, I have a hopefully a easier question or answer for you.
Okay.
The item up on top on the push button status, we have that traffic calming in Flagler Beach. There was... I don't have the communication with me, but we had gotten an email that stated the contract had been let and it was supposed to be taken care of within 90 days. That was back in November, so 90 days is like the 9th or 10th of February. Is it possible to see what our status is there and then maybe call our city manager and relay that information through?
Absolutely. So, okay. And again, I have that information with me as well. So
okay.
You want to get with me afterwards as
okay,
well? I can get that to you.
He's right. Our new manager is right back of you there. So
that's sounds good.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Lois decided that she was just going to sit there quietly on the executive director's report. So we will move on to TPO board member comments. Does anybody have any comments this morning? All right. Looking at information items, please note TPO retreat from 9 to 11 a.m. next Friday. There we go. Lois is going to do a dance, maybe.
Right on the back of your agenda packet, everyone.
Back there. We're looking forward to it. It's a little shorter, but that's because we're going to run it tight. So. And is any other business to come before the TPO? If not, we are adjourned.